Chapter 50. To him succeeded Ezekias his son, a man very unlike his father in character. For, in the beginning of his reign, urging the people and the priests to the worship of God, he discoursed to them in many words, showing how often, after being chastened by the Lord, they had obtained mercy, and how the 10 tribes, having been at last carried away into captivity, as had lately happened, were now paying the penalty of their impiety. He added that their duty was carefully to be on their guard lest they should deserve to suffer the same things. Thus, the minds of all being turned to religion, he appointed the Levites and all the priests to offer sacrifices according to the law, and arranged that the Passover, which had for a long time been neglected, should be celebrated. And when the holy day was at hand, he proclaimed the special day of assembly by messengers sent throughout all the land, so that, if any had remained in Samaria, after the removal of the 10 tribes, they might gather together for the sacred observance. Thus, in a very full assemblage, the sacred day was spent with public rejoicing, and, after a long interval, the proper religious rites were restored by means of Ezekias. He then carried on military affairs with the same diligence with which he had attended to divine things, and defeated the Philistines in frequent battles, until Sennacherib, king of the Assyrians, made war against him, having entered his territories with a large army. And then, when the country had been laid waste without any opposition, he laid siege to the city. For Ezekias, being inferior in numbers, did not venture to come to an engagement with him, but kept himself safe within the walls. The king of Assyria, thundering at the gates, threatened destruction, and demanded surrender, exclaiming that in vain did Ezekias put his trust in God, for that he rather had taken up arms by the appointment of God, and that the conqueror of all nations, as well as the overthrower of Samaria, could not be escaped, unless the king secured his own safety by a speedy surrender. In this state of affairs, Ezekias, trusting in God, consulted the prophet Isaiah, and from his answer he learned that there would be no danger from the enemy, and that the divine assistance would not fail him. And, in fact, not long after, Taraka, king of Ethiopia, invaded the kingdom of the Assyrians. Chapter 51. By this news Sennacherib was led to return in order to defend his own territories, and he gave up the war, at the same time murmuring and crying out that victory was snatched from him the victor. He also sent letters to Ezekias, declaring, with many insulting words, that he, after settling his own affairs, would speedily return for the destruction of Judea. But Ezekias, in no wise disturbed by these threats, is said to have prayed to God that he would not allow the so great insolence of this man to pass unavenged. Accordingly, in the same night, an angel attacking the camp of the Assyrians, caused, 1. The death of many thousand men. The king in terror fled to the town of Nineveh, and being there slain by his sons, met with an end worthy of himself. At the same time, Ezekias, sick in body, lay suffering from disease. And when Isaiah had announced to him in the words of the Lord that the end of his life was at hand, the king is related to have wept, and thus he got 15 years added to his life. These coming to an end, he died in the 29th year of his reign, and left the kingdom to his son Manasseh. He, degenerating much from his father, forsook God, and took to the practice of impious worship, and being, as a punishment for this, delivered into the power of the Assyrians, he was by his sufferings constrained to acknowledge his error, and exhorted the people that, forsaking their idols, they should worship God. He accomplished nothing worthy of special mention, but reigned for 55 years. Then Amos his son obtained the kingdom, but possessed it only 2 years. He was the heir of his father's impiety, and showed himself regardless of God. Being entrapped by some stratagems of his friends, he perished. Chapter 52. The government then passed to his son Josiah. He is related to have been very pious, and to have attended to divine things with the utmost care, profiting largely by the aid of the priest Helchim. Having read a book written with the words of God, and which had been found in the temple by the priest, in which it was stated that the Hebrew nation would be destroyed on account of their frequent acts of impiety and sacrilege. By his pious supplications to God, and constant tears, he averted the impending overthrow. When he learned through Olda the prophetess that this favor was granted him, he then with still greater care set himself to practice the worship of God, inasmuch as he was now under obligation to the divine goodness. Accordingly, he burned all the vessels which had by the superstitions of former kings been consecrated to idols. For to such a height had profane observances prevailed, that they used to pay divine honors to the sun and moon, and even erected shrines made of metal to these fancied deities. Joshua reduced these to powder, and also slew the priests of the profane temples. He did not even spare the tombs of the impious, and it was observed that thus was fulfilled what had of old been predicted by the prophet. In the 18th year of his reign, the Passover was celebrated. And about 3 years afterwards, having gone forth to battle against Michal, king of Egypt, who was making war upon the Assyrians, before the armies properly engaged, he was wounded by an arrow. And being carried back to the city, he died of that wound, after he had reigned 21 years. Chapter 53. Joachas, his son, having then obtained the kingdom, held it for 3 months, being doomed to captivity on account of his impiety. For Michal, king of Egypt, bound him and led him away captive, and not long after, while still a prisoner, he ended his days. An annual tribute was demanded of the Jews, and a king was given them at the will of the victor. His name was Eliakim, but he afterwards changed it to Joachim. He was the brother of Jochil, and the son of Josiah, but liker his brother than his father, displeasing God by his impiety. Accordingly, while he was in subjection to the king of Egypt, and in token thereof paid him tribute, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, seized the land of Judea, and as victor held it by the right of war for 3 years. For the king of Egypt now giving way, and the boundaries of their empire being fixed between them, it had been agreed that the Jews should belong to Babylon. Thus after Joachim, having finished his reign of 11 years, had given place to his son of the same name, and he had excited against himself the wrath of the king of Babylon, God undoubtedly overruling everything, having resolved to give the nation of the Jews up to captivity and destruction, Nebuchadnezzar entered Jerusalem with an army, and leveled the walls and the temple to the ground. He also carried off an immense amount of gold, with sacred ornaments either public or private, and all of mature age both of the male and female sex, those only being left behind whose weakness or age caused trouble to the conquerors. This useless crowd had the task assigned them of working and cultivating the fields in slavery, in order that the soil might not be neglected. Over them a king called Zedekiah was appointed, but while the empty shadow of the name of king was allowed him, all real power was taken away. Joachim, for his part, possessed the sovereignty only for 3 months. He was carried away, along with the people, to Babylon, and was there thrown into prison, but being, after a period of 30 years, released, while he was admitted by the king to his friendship, and made a partaker with him at his table and in his councils, he died at last, not without some consolation in that his misfortunes had been removed. Chapter 54. Meanwhile Zedekiah, the king of the useless multitude, although without power, being of an unfaithful disposition and neglectful of God, and not understanding that captivity had been brought upon them on account of the sins of the nation, becoming at length ripe for suffering the last evils he could endure, offended the mind of the king. Accordingly, after a period of 9 years, Nebuchadnezzar made war against him, and having forced him to flee within the walls, besieged him for 3 years. At this time, he consulted Jeremiah the prophet, who had already often proclaimed that captivity impended over the city, to discover if perhaps there might still be some hope. But he, not ignorant of the anger of heaven, having frequently had the same question put to him, at length gave an answer, denouncing special punishment upon the king. Then Zedekiah, roused to resentment, ordered the prophet to be thrust into prison. Ere long, however, he regretted this cruel act, but, as the chief men of the Jews whose practice it had been even from the beginning to afflict the righteous, opposed him, he did not venture to release the innocent man. Under coercion from the same persons, the prophet was let down into a pit, one, of great depth, and which was disgusting from its filth and squalor, while a deadly stench issued from it. This was done that he might not simply die by a common death. But the king, impious though he was, yet showed himself somewhat more merciful than the priests, and ordered the prophet to be taken out of the pit, and restored to the safekeeping of the prison. In the meantime the force of the enemy and want began to press the besieged hard, and everything being consumed that could be eaten, famine took a firm hold of them. Thus, its defenders being worn out with want of food, the town was taken and burned. The king, as the prophet had declared, had his eyes put out, and was carried away to Babylon, while Jeremiah, through the mercy of the enemy, was taken out of his prison. When Nebuzaradan, one of the royal princes, was leading him away captive with the rest, the choice was granted by him to the prophet, either to remain in his deserted and desolated native country, or to go along with him in the possession of the highest honors, and Jeremiah preferred to abide in his native land. Nebuchadnezzar, having carried away the people, appointed as governor over those left behind by the conquerors, either from the circumstances attending the war, or from an absolute weariness of accumulating spoil, Gotolia, to belong to the same nation. He gave him, however, no royal ensign, or even the name of governor, because there was really no honor in ruling over these few wretched persons,